She went up to a guard that was there who was going to trial while he was in Munich, and he actually fell off his chair because he recognized Eva as an adult. And, they said that he actually fell off the chair, and she joked about it. She said, "I wasn't what I was hoping for. I was going to go up to him and say something, but I actually knocked out an old Nazi." But she went up to him on the next day and said, "You can tell them and those of you that were in Auschwitz, you were involved with the Nazi party, and it was a terrible thing." And then she went on to forgive him and kiss him on the cheek. She said this when she was challenged by what she had done: "I'm not a poor person. I'm a victorious human being." She didn't get that out of the blue. We know that Jesus said we must forgive in order to be forgiven. We have to forgive, and it doesn't change the past. By Eva forgiving her captors, for forgiving those who tortured her and her sister and those family members who died under their hands, it doesn't mean that they were right in what they did by her forgiving them. But it did free Eva from carrying that weight all of her lives. I mentioned earlier that we are experiencing God doing some heart surgery. Very depth in the center of the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Forgive me of my debtors," or "Forgive me of my trespasses, as I forgive those who trespassed against me." Some of you in this room have been abused. In our family, there was abuse. We have a very, I don't know, if maybe you're the only one that you go down the family line and you're like, "Boy, I don't want anybody to know about what that person did." There are all sorts of people dealing with things right now. Can I tell you that everything that you have done, if you have been born again of the water and spirit, has been washed away in Jesus' name. Every single sin that you have been through, you're not to fault anymore. It's been washed away by the blood of Jesus. It's gone forever. The unfortunate thing is even though we know we're forgiven, we still carry the pain. We still carry the guilt. We still carry the shame. Your pastor this morning was talking about the man with the one talent, and he said, "I know that thou art a hard man, and that you reap where you sow not, and you sow where you reap not," and he says all these things, and he obviously didn't know who Jesus really was, but the fact is maybe he only knew what his father was. Maybe his perspective of God was because of what he received from his father. And it's unfortunate. We are creatures of repetitive human nature, and we have to understand that the God that we serve is not like our natural father or like our natural family or our natural mother. So many of you are first generation. You have to understand the God we serve actually showed his love on the cross, as Pastor spoke of this morning. You say, "Well, I heard that already," but half the people weren't here. They were in classes. And he talked about fear, and fear comes from past experiences. And the Bible tells me that perfect love casts out fear. We serve a perfect God, full of perfect love, and he is love. So I want to challenge you today. Some of you right now, you got your wheels turning right now. I'm telling you, I'm doing a two-part message. I'm throwing him off, way off. But if we'll turn to Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 15, I want to read you a passage that probably all of you could quote if you came up in a traditional church that just repeated prayers. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Or in the other parallel gospel, it says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Notice the very center of the prayer has to do with making sure not only that we're forgiven, but that we forgive others. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And I'm sure your pastor has taught, this is not a prayer to repeat. It's actually, if I could put it this way, it's a diagram of how to pray. They said, teach us to pray. And they gave us, he gave us parts of the prayer to teach or to learn from and pray. And we find that he says, after this manner you pray, and after you praise, you thank the Lord. And after that, you pray for forgiveness, not only for yourself, but forgiving others. And notice the very next scripture. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You cannot truly be delivered from evil if you still harbor unforgiveness. You cannot stay away from that temptation unless you get rid of the harbored bitterness. And then in verse 14, we always stop with 13. It says, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen. And then we all sit down in those traditional churches. But it says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. He went out of the frame of prayer or the mode to pray or what it is that we're supposed to go by, steps of what we're supposed to pray for, teaching them, and then he jumps outside that prayer and says, let me go back to that forgiveness issue. If you forgive others of their trespasses, God will forgive you. And verse 15, he says, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a hard statement, isn't it? My sister is the epitome of that. My sister says, how can there be a God if all those things happen to me? How can I even believe there's a God? Why didn't he stop this from happening and stop that from happening? Very good questions. But the fact is that God got the wheels turning, and he allows the wheels to turn on their own. He shows the destructive power of mankind on the earth. If there wasn't so many things bad happening, we wouldn't need a Savior. I'm not saying it's right. It's just that he has allowed the ball to be in our hands, to see how we'll handle it and see what we'll do with it and wait for us to call upon him. You look at the Old Testament, in the Judges especially, they would call upon the Lord and they would defeat their enemies and great things would happen. And all of a sudden that judge would die, that leader would die, and all of a sudden they went off to whoring and they did their own thing, and then they backslid and became into a position of being in captivity. And here's what happens today. People are caught in captivity while sitting in a place of liberty. They thought because they had been God's chosen people that they should already be liberated. But they had to realize that we have to be in a position of relationship in order to get the liberty that God needs for us. And if you actually pursue that relationship, then God's going to put some things on you. Say, if I forgave those who put me on a cross, you need to forgive those that did you wrong. Can somebody say amen? We know the thief came but to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The statement that he said he might means it depends on how we take it. Now, I'm not asking anybody to put out their dirty laundry. That's between you and God. And I'm not asking anybody to confess anything. And I'm not, please don't get all nervous here. But I'll tell you, some of you right now, I felt this in the Holy Ghost as we were going through this service. Some of you are dealing with some things that you never want to repeat. I don't mean repeat as in do it again in life, but repeat. You could never really share it with somebody because it's so embarrassing. Someone violated you. Someone abused you, someone verbally abused you, someone took you down, and someone did some stuff to you that a relative or someone, and you deal with the shame of that, and really nobody knows, but can I tell you there's only one that truly knows. And you came to this sanctuary this morning, and you have to know that he's looking upon you right now saying, I know already. I see the shame. You know what God's wanting us to do? God, it's not my fault that all this happened, but that's not the point, Lord. I need to forgive them for what they did to me. Do you know what unforgiveness is like? What bitterness is like? Anybody ever have a relative or someone in your family that was really off the wall and you deal with, and please don't relate it to a situation, but you're like, man, I am not going to be talking to them and I'm not going to be around them. That's fine. But you just got some people in your life, you're like, man, I'm not going to be around that person. Do you know what bitterness does? If you feel like you have the right to hold on to that bitterness and that anger and that you can't believe they did that to me, I'm never going to let that happen again and I'm never going to, you know what you're doing? You're telling, number one, the Lord, his sacrifice wasn't good enough for that. But number two, it's like taking rat poison to kill a rat. You take it yourself saying, well, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to hold on to it. It's going to kill you. And I want to encourage you this morning. I haven't even gotten to the second part of this lesson. Because I can't get to the second part of the lesson until we take care of the first. I want to ask you, every eye closed, please respect everyone else. Every eye closed, every head bowed. And I want to ask some people in here, as I've been talking to you about what we've been talking about this morning, I want you to just with every eye closed, nobody's looking. I'm making sure nobody's looking. Every eye closed. If you've been a victim of what I've been talking about this morning and from one level to another, can you just shoot your hand up real quick and put it back down? We've got people all over the sanctuary that have been dealing with this stuff. Can I tell you, your God is so great, so loving, that he wants to wash you clean. If Eva Mendez can forgive the captors, saying if it was empowering because now I feel free, I wonder how many captors from that Auschwitz camp remained captors for the rest of their lives because of unforgiveness. You can look up now. How many of them actually carried that the rest of their lives and died in bitterness knowing that they killed their grandparents and killed them? But Eva's like, I'm not going to let that happen to me. I can't do anything about my family members who are gone. I ministered a message like this in Bellevue, Nebraska. It wasn't the same message. It was about forgiveness. And this woman came up to the front. She was a Methodist minister and fell on her face at the altar and said, I've been dealing with this all my life. I've been carrying it. Can I tell you, you don't have to carry it anymore. God loves you so much. By you forgiving them allows God to be the judge in their life. You're not created to carry out the judgment. And you couldn't do it if you tried. But if you forgive them, allow God to be. And I'll tell you, the Bible says pray for them. But I want to pray together this morning. And I want you to be honest with yourself. Those of you, and we're going to, I want us to all, listen, if you haven't gone through it, you pray loud too. Don't listen to the person next to you. Pray that God would minister right now. Maybe if you need to come up to the altar, you can do that. But I would ask you to come up and say, God, I know I need to forgive others so I can be forgiven. And God, today I've been carrying this weight. I'm telling you, you can carry this weight. It is so heavy upon you that you won't even realize how much lighter you'll feel if you just let loose of the thing that's keeping you from going where you need to go in God. The enemy has attacked you because you never got past the middle of the Lord's Prayer because you said the words of the second part without carrying out the actions of the middle scripture. And I forgive those who trespass against me. I forgive those who have done wrong to me. Pray for it right now. Can we all pray in the name of Jesus? I'm not sure, and I can't pray for you. I can't put the words in your mouth. You're going to have, by the confession of your mouth, you can take care of it with God right now. But I'm not a stranger. I've seen the abuse. I've been in the imperfect family. I've been through those situations, not necessarily your situation, but those situations that are violating. And God, we ask right now, forgive me for carrying the weight that you went to Calvary to take away. Forgive me, Lord, for not forgiving others, Lord. I'm not saying they were right, God, by my prayer right now, but God, I am saying I forgive them, and I'm putting them into your hands. And I pray, God, that you would deal with it, God. I can't handle it anymore. I need to be free, God. I need to be free, Lord, from the shame and the guilt. I need to be cleansed, Lord. Wash me in your blood, God. Cleanse me white as snow, God. Help me, God, today. Help me, God, today. Those of you who raised your hands, I hope you just prayed a prayer that's irreplaceable. I believe if you prayed that prayer, if you haven't prayed it now, pray it later. Get into your prayer place. Empty it out before God. Do you know God is not surprised when we share something with him? If you say, God, do you know what they did to me? He already knew what happened. Do you realize how they violated me? He's like, I already did. I've just been waiting for you to confess. I've been waiting for you to get it out off of your heart. I've been waiting for you to take care of this so that you're not carrying it anymore. Can we give God glory right now? Can we thank him right now? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're worthy, God. You're worthy, God. You're worthy, God. Hallelujah. Today, I want to encourage you to go into a place where you actually find yourself before the throne of God. And let me tell you something also. You may have to repeat it later on when you start feeling those feelings of anger, feelings of resentment. But it doesn't mean you have to all of a sudden go and teach them Bible studies right away. Some people are like, well, if I forgave them, I need to go back and do all this other stuff. Well, if that's fitting, but God never told us to be best friends with everybody. He just told us to love everybody. And some people you can love at a distance without hating them. And if you love them, guess what? People think that I have an assistant pastor who's now pastoring. He thought that the best way to take care of things is face-to-face. And he would wear you out trying to take care of that face-to-face. And I approached him and I said, you know what, brother? What's more powerful than you approaching anybody in this church face-to-face? What? How about talking to God face-to-face and let him do those things that are invisible? And let him deal with the heart, because before they ever succumb to what you're trying to say, they've got to listen to God, and God can get through every wall and barrier in their life. So the best thing we can do is pray. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right this morning? Step one of surgery is done. I was telling our church, I went through some surgery this summer, and Scott was my brother Scott. I got to watch out. I'm not disrespectful. He's my brother Scott. But Brother Patterson was there. And Brother Patterson was there, and he helped me out. And I didn't know I was sick. For 2 years, I'd have all these things happening and didn't know. I had chronic gallbladder issues. Didn't even feel pain in my gallbladder. And I shared with my church, here's something that you need to know. I learned from this experience, because I thought I'd get off the gallbladder surgery and I would be like, in 2 days, let's go climb a mountain. Let's go hiking. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. And you know what the doctor said? You can't do this for so long, and you can't do that for so long, and you got to watch your diet, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. And then all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, I'm still sitting there going, man, I'm supposed to be feeling better. The residue of, I slept in a recliner for 4 months because I couldn't lay down. Now, while they're trying to figure out, why can't he lay down? I slept in a recliner for 4 months. And then afterwards, I'm like, okay, now I can sleep normal. And it was like getting weaned off a pacifier as a one-year-old. I'm like, man, I'm supposed to be better. I don't even have a gallbladder. But my body is saying, where's it at? Because this is what we've been dealing with so long. And for 2.5 weeks, I didn't have any energy. And then finally, all of a sudden, in a service 3 weeks later, I'm like, Whoa, man, I'm feeling good. I'm getting back to normal. That was just gallbladder surgery, and heart surgery, it takes a little longer. Friend of ours in South Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, pastor went through heart surgery. It said it took him 4 months to actually start to feel normal. So today you might walk out of the building saying, man, God did some surgery on me. Just don't get high off the God's anesthesia. Tomorrow you might feel something different. You're going to say, you know what, I'm going to have to combat that in Jesus' name. I'm getting on top. God made me more than a conqueror. He's given me life more abundantly. Can we clap our hands to the Lord right now and thank Him? Remember, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Now that I took care of the heart problem, let's go ahead and move on. Declare thy mighty acts. In other words, you are designed, parents, you're designed to make sure that you, men especially, ladies are good at this. Men, start speaking about what God's doing. Talking to the men, because I'm not a woman, I can't relate. Fact is that we've got to declare what God's doing to the next generation. We got to let them know what's happening. We need to declare His acts to our next generation. Your pastor was talking about this morning in the adult class. He was talking about when he one day passes away, that the dash in between the years when he was born and died, that someday maybe his granddaughter with her child may go and say, my dad honored God, was it? Pleased God. My grandfather pleased God. He was a God pleaser. Well, we have to make sure that the next generation knows that. We're not plants. We don't get everything by osmosis. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Remember the word of the Lord Jesus, how it was more blessed to give than to receive. Parents, it's more blessed to give than receive. But what happens if you never received as a parent? See, we already took it. Don't go back into the history. We just took care of that, okay? What happens if you never received? Let's read a story, and we're going to go quickly through it because I know I've already been through one side of the surgery. Genesis 27. Remember the story of Esau and Jacob and their father? Isaac was there ready to bless them, and Mama gets Jacob. She overhears a story. Here's what Isaac wants to do for Esau because he's by right has the birthright, and we find that he's there, and he goes out to go get his dad's favorite venison, which means he has to hunt, and Mama goes and kills a goat and makes the meat up the way that Isaac likes it. And Jacob comes along, and she puts hair on his arms from the skins of animals, and she makes him to smell like he's actually from the fields, because you can't be a mama's boy and be out in the fields and smell like the fields if you're a mama's boy. So she made him to smell the right way, and Isaac's eyes were dim. Or in other words, he could hardly see, but he could smell and he could feel and he could do this. And he tells his son to go out and do it. And Rebekah tells Jacob, okay, I've heard the whole thing. Let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to cook the kid out here, the kid, the goat. Just so you know, the scripture's not talking about a real kid. That's another kind of goat. The next generation. You do that with goats, not real people. And they get the meat ready and send him in before his brother comes back to cook the meat. Notice this. Jacob comes into his father. And his mother tells him, you need to go and do this. In verse 10, she continues, and thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat and bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me. And I shall seem unto him as a deceiver, and I will come, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said to him, upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice and go and fetch me them. Let me stop and throw a little wrench in here. Everybody looks at Jacob as the deceiver, and he did do some deceiving, didn't he? But you know what? Rebekah, when she had the children in the womb, said what was going to, God told her already, that the eldest was going to serve the younger. So Rebecca was actually trying to carry out something. Could it be that Isaac really wouldn't have agreed with the plan? God had already promised that Jacob would be the beneficiary, that Jacob would be the blessed. And we find that prior to this, we find that Esau comes in from the fields and he is so tired, he says, I'm going to die. Give me a bowl of beans. And he sells his birthright for a bowl of beans. Because Jacob said, I want your birthright. You want these beans? You think you're going to die? It's like I hear Ian this summer at our house. I am starving. And his dad going, you just ate 2 hours ago. It's a good thing he doesn't have a birthright. But the fact is that he sells him his birthright. Why? Because Esau has two things in mind. Esau understands that not only does he have to give him the birthright, but daddy has to carry out the birthright, and he's not going to do that for Jacob. And the Bible says that Esau despised his birthright, that he was rejected. I'm getting to my point. You're going to see where I'm going because it's not going to be the normal story that you normally hear. We find that Jacob goes in, and his dad says, you feel like Esau, you smell like Esau, but you sound like Jacob. In other words, he wasn't good with making his voice sound like his brother. And we find that, verse 25, he says, bring the meat, he's going to eat it. Isaac said unto him, verse 26, come now, kiss me, my son. And when he came near to kiss him, he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, this is the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which is the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee the dew of... All of a sudden, Isaac starts pouring out the blessing. I said at the beginning of this, some of you have never been blessed. He says, I'm going to give you the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine, and let the people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee, be lord over thy brethren, and the mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be everyone that blesseth thee. And as soon as it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made the end of Jacob's blessing, then Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. So we find that Jacob got the blessing. Jacob got the, and when you look at the King James Version, the word is Barak, and it means to kneel, by implication, to bless God, to receive a benefit, whether it's a man or God himself. So he got the blessing from God. He got everything that he needed. And his father got done eating. And when then comes Esau in and he brings in the food and he says, okay, dad, go ahead, feed, here's your food, I got it ready, I hunted for it. And Isaac said to him, verse 32, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that has taken the venison and brought it to me? And I eaten all of it before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, he shall be blessed. You know what I love about the blessing? It's irrevocable. In other words, it can never be taken back. It comes upon you, and there's nothing that anyone can do about it. Even the author who spoke out, he can't do anything about it because the blessing has been brought to pass. And Esau heard the words of his father. He cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and he said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. Let me talk to you for a little bit. One of the things I think we've lost in America is the ability to bless the next generation. Coming into the church, I was 19 years old. I didn't have the blessing. I got the Holy Ghost. I was baptized in Jesus' name. I was teaching Bible studies. My family wanted to reject me. My dad put up with me, but my mom really wanted to kick me out. Wanted to excommunicate me from the family. That still happens today, especially in certain religions. She wasn't even that, and it wasn't even a religious reason. She just was tired of hearing me tell the truth. I've been telling lies all my life. Now she's mad at me for telling truth. and I didn't get a blessing. And I would be the first few years of my of being born again. Scott, I think he came in 91. So the first 2 to 3 years, I'm sitting there saying, God, my family's unsaved. How many have been praying for their family? God, save my family. God, anoint them. Dad was 97, wasn't he? 1997, by the way. And so he got saved 5, 6, 7 years later. And the fact is that I was praying for my family to be saved. And my dad didn't know anything about church. And I would read these scriptures, and I realized this blessing thing is real. This blessing thing is important. This is the real deal. And I have no one to lay their hands on me and bless me. And I struggled with this, and I said, God, how can I ever become what you need me to become if my dad doesn't serve you? And how can I be what I ever need to become? My grandfathers have passed away. And how is it that I'm going to get where I need to go? I knew it wasn't all hinged on this, but I looked at people that were in church, and I'm like, well, they've got some advantages over me. Their daddy's a preacher, and he's already laid his hands on them. And their grandfather did this, and their family did that. What do I have? I'm just this little orphan in the kingdom of God. Let me share with you how important the blessing is that you need. And I'm not justifying by any means Jacob's means of getting it. Jacob longed so long for the blessing that he lied 3 times. There are people right now living a lie, and they've invested everything in things outside of God because they're trying to find the blessing somewhere else. The blessing in the scripture, as I mentioned, was irrevocable. The gift of the blessing is irrevocable. It can't take it back. The blessing did not go with the inheritance in the Old Testament. The inheritance went with the birthright. The birth was obtained. The birthright was obtained during the deception of the stew, and the blessings came from the Father. So we all have, if you've been born again of the water and spirit, you already are lined up to get the birthright. You're already lined up to get what God has, but the blessing, you still want the blessing. Fathers, mothers, and grandparents are found to give blessings in the Old Testament. Fathers and mothers bless. Genesis 39, a grandparent blesses a grandchild. Jacob blessed all of his children. Jonathan and David blessed. Jesus blessed all of his children. No wonder the disciples are saying, no, they're too little. And Jesus is like, don't hold them back from me. I want to bless them. Don't stop them. So the question that we have to ask is, have you been blessed? I'm not talking about blessings of God. We all get the blessings of God. But really, I believe that a church is only strong as its church family. And there's keys to a healthy church. And I believe that this is one of them. Find it interesting, this thing. Remember, they would lay their hands. They would actually lay their hands and invoke a blessing upon whoever it was, the grandchild, the child, and all. Parents, how many times are you laying your hands on your children invoking blessings? My girls were real young. I mean, I'm talking real young. And we made it a habit. We go in, not just do their prayers, not just their prayers. We would randomly go into their room, lay our hands on, now we, you know, quietly. We didn't startle them out of sleep. And I walk up and I say, God, right now I pray in the name of Jesus. Let her grow up into a mighty woman of God. Help her to find the right mate for life. Help her to find the right partner. Help her to find, let them be used in ministry. Anoint them and provide for them and bless. That's what I would do with my girls. My wife would do the same thing. We would go in and do all these things. We would try to carry them out. You know why? I never had that when I was a kid. I never had that. Remember the time when I I was just into youth ministry, and I went down to where IBC is in the Calvary Church, and we were down there, and Brother Urshan, Nathaniel Urshan, was still alive. And he was barely moving, and Brother Mooney said, come on up, Brother Urshan, sit on those front pews. We need anybody, young minister, any young person that wants to be blessed. God's got a call in your life. Will you come up to the front? You know what? I was out of that chair in a heartbeat. Not because it was the man that was praying. I didn't get the blessing. And there are people willing to live their life in deception and live their life hoping to find something because they've never got a blessing. No wonder America's where it is. There are so many families without a dad. Not only without a dad, but also without that realm of blessing. So many families without godly parents. Everybody still with me? Let me show you the power of this. University of Nebraska did a study finding the same five things during their study. Here's what they found about the blessings. They actually studied it out. Appropriate, meaningful touch is what I want, one of their subjects. It said, the power of touch. When humans touch one another, eyes dilate, hemoglobin rises, blood pressure decreases. A touch, a correct touch, the right kind of touch. Grabbing your child's hand, putting your hand around your kid. All that actually says, I value you and you have my blessing. So the first thing is touch. Notice in the Old Testament, before the University of Nebraska ever figured this out, they're laying hands on each other. We did it in the beginning of this service. We're praying for each other, laying hands on one another. The second thing they said, you must verbalize your blessing. Hello? A spoken message attaches high value to the individual. Bright eyes make the heart glad. Blessing literally means to bow before them spiritually using words that bring value. Like we said, to kneel, to bless God, to bless man. It also means that there's a special future. I see this in you, or you'll be this and you'll be that. Ever since our girls were young, we were saying, you know, you're going to be a great prayer warrior, and you're going to be mighty in this, and you're going to be used in this. I could see my daughter Tiffany, man, she would bring everybody to church. My daughter Kelsey, not so much, but my daughter Kelsey knew how to hit the throne of God. Wasn't that both of them couldn't do it, they just specialized. Be a person of genuine commitment was the last thing that they said. If you said you're going to do something, do it. But what about when you don't receive the blessing? Hear me, adults. How many didn't have anybody lay hands on them and bless them? Please be honest. Just lift up your hand. Maybe you've already gotten it, but just you didn't have your dad lay his hand on you and pray for you and pray God's greatest blessings upon you. You didn't have someone to tell you what God was going to do in your life. In fact, you probably didn't get five words of blessing out of them. Notice what the scripture says. We're going back to the scripture. Brother, you're going to have to throw this up real quick. Deuteronomy 23 and 5. And we're going to have to jump from the beginning to the end to get the gist of it. However, the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord God loves you. Are you seeing that? You didn't have the parents to do it, but the Lord says, I'm going to turn the curse into a blessing because I love you. So yeah, you didn't have the parent to do that, and you didn't have, but can I tell you, this is a family here. We don't just say brother and sister out of formality. We say it because you're my brother. You're my sister. This is my family. When I didn't have a family that served God, I could go back and find shelter in the family of God at the church that I went to. And they would say, you know what? We're praying for your family. We're praying for your mom and dad. We're in this with you. And they would put their arm around me, and they would bless me. But there's a special time. After my dad got the Holy Ghost, I got down on my knees one time. I said, God, I know that there's a thing into this. I told my dad, I said, I had Brother Urshan do this for me back in so-and-so year, but Dad, I need you. You're still here. You got the Holy Ghost now. I need you to pray for me. I need you to bless me. With tears in his eyes, he began to pronounce the blessing over my life. I'm telling you, we need this. How many people are living without that affirmation in their life? So we've gone through the side of forgiveness. Now, the side of blessing needs to follow. And I want to ask you parents to realize this. It's hard to bless others when you haven't received it yourself. My dad never did that for me. I'm not going to have to do that for you. Oh, stop it. Grow up. You're in God now. They need it. God says that in Deuteronomy 23 and 5, we just read it, He will not allow a curse to rule over you. He'll turn it into a blessing. A blessing, or and it's, if I could put it to you this way, if you have that curse in your life that you did not be, you were not blessed, if you have something in your life, they told you you were never going to amount to anything, you're never going to be anything, you're going to, you know what a curse does? It, and the curse in the Bible literally means to dam up the stream, subtracting from somebody's life. So a curse was actually defined as something to stop the flow of water to keep you from being blessed like you need to be. So can I tell you, we can open up that dam today because you're not cursed, you're blessed. There's nothing stopping the living water to go where it needs to go. And a blessing from God empowers you to bless your parents even if they did not bless you growing up. Ephesians 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9, my last scripture. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful and courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. You need to bless one another. We need to bless one another. We need to make sure that we are speaking the things of God. I hear from your pastor every time he gets up to preach. He's speaking blessings almost every time I've ever heard him get up and say something during his message. He's trying to pass that on. How many in here want to receive blessings today? Hallelujah. Can we stand? Pray a blessing over your kids every day. Kids all over this world are deprived because of the situation they're in. Your children should not be. You've got everything you need in the house of God. You've got everything you need. You've got the Word of God coming from this pulpit two or three times a week at least. And I'm telling you, you've got everything you need. Don't make an excuse not to pass a blessing on to your children. If you can stay on key, sing a blessing to your children. Moms, your kids actually love it when they're little hearing you sing. If you can hold a key. Dads, you just listen to mom. Unless it works the other way. And be somebody who takes the five elements of a blessing and pours them into another person's life. I had a gentleman in our church. We had a church picnic this summer. He's a brand new guy. He got converted from Jehovah's Witness and came into our church about 8 months ago. And he went through a tough period in his life. He's like, I don't know what's going on. And man, God put it on my mind. Has your dad ever passed on a blessing to you? He started crying. He's like, no. I shared just a little bit of the story. So look what Jacob did just to get a blessing. Here you are in the house of God and you're surrounded by people, blessings. Said, you're going back because that's where you found the way to be escaped from not getting the blessing that you had in your childhood. The guy broke down. I said, I'm not going to be the one. You and I are on the same age group, and I know I'm your pastor. But we're in the same age group, and I just feel it's fitting. We have an elder in our church, my father-in-law, a bishop, used to be a superintendent. I said, he's out there right now, and he's got his hot dog and his hamburger, and they're sitting at a table eating. And we're in the sanctuary. We're the only ones in a sanctuary. I said, would you want him to bless you? Do you need a good father figure to follow after that you can be accountable to, that'll love you and tell you the truth with the right clear conscience, not telling you something just so he can say it, but he'll tell you the truth and be honest with you and give you wisdom? And the guy just said yes in his tears. I said, you stay right here. I went out to Bishop Anthony and I said, Dad, I had to say it louder because he's hard of hearing. I said, Dad, Brother Zog's in there in the sanctuary, and he didn't have a dad in his life to bless him. Will you go in and help me out? Will you go in and pray for him? Pass on a blessing and be his spiritual father? My father-in-law, being the man that he is, a man of love, a man of God's word, says, sure, placed down his plate, disappeared into the sanctuary for 10, 15 minutes, and walked out with his spiritual son that he blessed. Your parents may not come to this church, but if you never received a blessing, you got ministry, you got elders, you got your pastor. I'm sure he's not going to fight about, oh, I'm not going to do that. That just takes too much time. I'm sure he'd be glad to pass a blessing on to you. Some of you are surrounded by your own children who have never, ever heard you bless them. These kids need to grow up, and when the times get tough, they have a dad that blessed them. They have a church that blessed them. When things get tough and they have an option to go in another direction, and they think about it, they're like, wait a minute, God told me this through my dad. God told me this through my pastor. And they can look back and say, I already have the blessing. I don't need to look anywhere else. I don't need to find it in the alcohol. I don't need to find it in the drugs. I don't need to find it in the pornography. I don't need to go down those roads because I have been blessed. Children, gather around your parents if you would. Is this all right? Gather around your parents. If your parent or your child or your parent doesn't go to this church, I'd like you to find a couple that's godly. You want a blessing? Jacob would do anything. We're not even asking you to lie in this. You just need to get to a place where you can be blessed. Find someone who's a spiritual leader in your life that you count as a spiritual dad or mom. I'll tell you what, this is awesome. Say, well, this isn't what normally happens in our church. I'm telling you right now, we're going to feel the power and the blessing of God. And then I'm going to do this. I'm going to ask, if you have never received the blessing as an adult and you're just the parent in this situation and you want a bad blessing, I'm going to ask Pastor to come up front after this, and you can come up, and I want him to lay hands on you and bless you. And you might not ever see your family member there to do it, but you got a pastor that loves you. You got ministry that loves you. You got elders in this church that love you, and they'd be willing to do that for you. If you don't know who to go to, just find somebody to pray with, and we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. And I want you parents, lay a hand on each child as you go through. God, I want you to bless them. God, I want you to see your glory poured out on their life. God, I want you to protect them. I ask that your anointing would be upon them, that your hand would be upon them. Show them your love throughout the days of your lives. Show them your blessings throughout the days of their life. Don't let the enemy come in on them. Don't let him have his way with them. Can we begin to pray right now? You know exactly what to pray for yourself and your family. Just lay hands on your children. Lay hands on those around you that have asked to be the spiritual parent or the person that would bless. Pass on that blessing right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. In the name of Jesus. God, let your glory rest upon them. God, let them find themselves in your presence, God. When things get tough, Lord, open up the windows of heaven, God. Show yourself to them, Lord. Bless them mightily, Lord. Let the glory of your spirit rest upon them, Lord. Let the power and the anointing of your blessing be upon them. God, let them be used mightily in the Holy Ghost. Let them be used mightily, God. We don't want to wait till the end of our life to bless right now, God. We want to do it right now, God. We want to do it right now in the name of Jesus. Let the glory of your kingdom prevail. Let the glory of your kingdom prevail. Help them to raise their children the right way, God. Show them the way, Jesus. Reveal unto them the wisdom that only you can give. Minister your anointing, your blessing, your power in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let your glory minister, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In in the name of Jesus. Let it be unto them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Blessings, God. Blessings, God. Let your glory be upon them, Lord. Anoint them in the name of Jesus. Use them for the glory of your kingdom, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. This is a very biblical thing to do. Oh, God, help them to find their place at your feet, God. God, help them, Lord, to see your wisdom day to day. Lord, anoint them, Lord, with insight, Lord. Minister your anointing upon them, Lord. When they face trials, Lord, give them the wisdom to go through in Jesus' name. Minister your anointing, God. As they grow in you, Lord, let them find themselves in a place of anointing, God. In the name of Jesus.
Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. And he is jealous for me.
Hallelujah,
loves
Lord.
Like a
hallelujah,
I
Lord.
I am a tree.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. And oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so.
If you're an adult here and you never had your daddy here to bless you, I want you to come up to the front. I believe that we're gonna progress through this service. There's gonna be blessings, but I want your pastor, if that's all right. If you need a blessing, you might not be able to retrieve what's gone from the past, but you can recover what God has for you today. This is important. So important that Jacob was willing to do anything he could to get it. There are children, there are people right now starving for the blessing that can't get it. You can get it right now. You can get it right now. Hallelujah. While we pray for these things, go ahead and pray. I want to tell you, parents, it's so sad that we have to wait until the day someone dies to say the things we wanted to say all of our life. Make every day count. Don't wait till they're gone to say the good things. Do it while they're here. Don't wait to show the appreciation for the time they can't hear it. They need to hear it now. They need to hear your blessings. They need to hear what you're going to do. Hallelujah. Step forward if you want to have prayer. Your pastor's here.